Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, we did it! Shut up.
Damn it.
So Wednesday morning, you're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
If you're watching the live stream, Tommy has now started so we could hit the da-na-na's together, putting his finger up in the air to
time it
up.
They do the timing, like a maestro.
You know what you look like? You look like Lawrence Welk about to start every song he ever did on PBS.
You know, Kimmy does not know who
She does, actually.
I do.
Lawrence Welk became very popular for some reason with people our age.
Like, wow.
Oh, really?
Years. I don't know why.
I just know because of my grandparents.
Okay. I also watch it with my grandparents. But for some reason, he had a revival?
Oh, maybe so.
I don't know.
People were watching the show. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It is a chilly start.
Oh, yeah.
27 degrees downtown. A little bit of snow on your way in this morning if you are coming in now. Looks like the snow has stopped, but there could be snow on the ground depending on where you are. Going to get into the low 40s, but...
Yeah.
Next week, we're back into the 40s, and we'll have a day where we're diddling 50 next week.
Nice.
So we got that going for us. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you remember the name Joe Francis?
No.
Kimmy, does that name ring a bell to you?
I don't think so.
Right. Joe Francis, at one point, had his pulse on the cultural, finger on the cultural pulse of America.
Really?
He was one of the most successful businessmen in America about 20, 25 years ago.
What did he have?
He was the leader of the empire that was Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, yeah. He did time, didn't he?
Yep. So don't get ahead of me. I'm
Turns
sorry.
Turns out, not a great guy.
Wait a minute. You're telling me a dude that got women drunk and filmed them doing
it's
sexual
so
things and then sold the video was not a good dude. So, the reason this man, Joe Francis, is back in the news again.
Yeah.
Peacock is doing a docuseries called Girls Gone Wild, The Untold Story.
Oh, I got to check it out.
Okay, I don't think it's what you think.
No, I want to say, I know it's that, it's going to be how we got in trouble.
Uh-huh. And I know, but
you might get a couple little shots, you know. So.
I would not say that with what I'm about to tell you.
Well, nice ones. Legal ones.
So, the documentary, as you said, goes through what Girls Gone Wild was, how it became like a cultural phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, I remember them selling it on TV at late night.
And like it just became part of like the lexicon of what we talked about, right? I mean, I was in high school. Kimmy, you were in high school when it was all kind of going down.
Yeah.
Right? And I vividly remember my buddies getting a hold of a burned DVD of one of the Girls Gone Wilds, and it was like the greatest night of our life.
Well, they had those like the late night commercials.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I don't know if it was a commercial or just like a like an hour long promotion. Like infomercial kind of thing.
Okay, so like Kimmy said, it turns out that when you're filming just regular people, women doing sexual stuff, things are probably going to go wrong for you. Because in 2003, there was an incident where this man, Joe, got four girls drunk, filmed them nude and in sexual situations. And it turns out all four girls were underage. So
they didn't check their IDs first.
Who knows? He ultimately pled contest to misdemeanor child abuse and prostitution charges.
That sounds like some heavy duty time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so he did some time, but then he had more charges coming over the years. He fled the country in 2014.
Oh, no.
Smart
kidding.
Move.
So he is in this documentary.
Oh.
They interview him in this documentary.
So he's overseas somewhere?
That I don't know, but he sits down and has an interview with them. So they ask him if he felt bad for what happened in this specific incident in 2003.
Mm.
Okay. And if he victimized them.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you a quote.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear this.
All right, now keep in mind, this guy got rich beyond his wildest dreams with this. He was also a giant douche about it. Like, he was like one of them, like, original, like, out playboys doing the whole thing. Okay. Quote, when asked, do you feel bad and did you victimize these girls? No, because I don't believe they were victimized. They victimized me.
Oh.
He goes on.
Turn the tables.
He goes on. They were 17. Just shy of 18, which if we could time out there, always the creepiest way to describe anything.
Yes, it
is. Just a bit outside 18.
She'll be legal just a few weeks, boys. He goes on, they were the ones that victimized us. I believe, we all believe that they were put up by the Panama City police and it was all an operation. So I believe that was quite orchestrated. I walked into an effing snake pit, okay? So he's accusing the police department of Florida of intentionally
recruiting 17-year-old girls
to get drunk and do sexual things on camera, which were then sold via those videos.
Him.
Yeah, you got it. They asked him about the legacy of Girls Gone Wild as well. Quote, it loosened everything up. I think it made for such...
Yeah, we didn't have pornography before that.
For a so much more fun generation, I think it created the ability to have, obviously, the Kardashians, and it did so much more. So not only is he taking credit for the Kardashians, he's saying that his underage pornography with regular people on the street made the generation more fun.
We kind of loosened up a little bit. It made Florida fun again.
Quote, this is his last quote. Quote, more, everything, more for society, for life.
Wow, look at that. Sounds like he's running for Senate.
I mean, I guess there are some places in America you could run for Senate.
Absolutely.
With what he's got going on. So like we said.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. When it was happening, Girls Gone Wild was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
It had bled into every part of American life. It was a household name. Everybody knew what it was. And granted, at the time, folks were like, ooh. Nobody really saw it as problematic. And now, in hindsight, when you have all of this here, you look back and go, oh, dear God, how did we let that happen?
But all these sites ended up this way.
Yes, you're right.
Every institution that was, well, you know, they do it in a classy way. Nah, really. It was all dirty business.
Now, here's the thing. I do want to separate. I mean, you know, there's a difference between pornography and this.
Right.
And I'm not here to defend the pornography
business
either.
No, but I'm talking like Playboy, Penthouse, and those institutions that were always considered more... Like, Playboy was always considered, like, a high-class men's magazine.
Well, they weren't going to spread legs and show it to you.
No. But then we find out that the mansion was a really horrible place.
What made you think a man in his 70s, 80s, 90s that was a millionaire that was keeping women in there against their will, essentially?
Calling it movie night.
But you were saying, Kimmy, I'm
sorry. Well, I was going to say, but I can understand how people at the time didn't know what was going on behind the scenes of Playboy, whereas this is kind of like out there in your face. We kind of knew what was happening here.
But this
didn't
all
hide
in,
anything.
But this tied it all into the spring break stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how this, like, I remember springboarding, because we used to have that guy on, and we used to give away those CDs. We used to give away those DVDs.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the problem. Just saying.
Well, I'm sure we were.
Well, no, I do remember as a kid, like when I said, like, the greatest night of our lives and we got a hold of one of those DVDs.
Yeah.
I just assumed, even as a kid, that this was all a setup. That they were obviously actresses and, like, they were pretending.
Oh, you thought that as a kid,
well,
too?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you didn't?
I mean, I never actually watched the DVD, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, they didn't really have, do they have Guys Gone Wild?
I don't think
Tommy,
so.
Tommy, did they have Guys Gone Wild? They must have, right?
No.
Kimmy, can you, bro.
Like, so you would have guys
no
jumping
way.
Up and down in bed with other guys showing their wangs?
Why would you not? Well, I mean,
but that would be, I never heard of it.
Talk awfully fast, everybody.
Okay. That would just be. So you're thinking there's guys did this and they sold it on TV.
So I don't know if this was somebody else doing this or if this was an actual.
This is like an SNL skit.
If this was an actual spinoff of the original, but it says there was a Guys Gone Wild series. It was a male version of the popular Girls Gone Wild videos featuring men exposing themselves on camera. Often filmed at similar events like spring break.
Yeah, why wouldn't
there and be? It says it was produced by the same company.
Oh.
By the way, much less fun shift.
Yes.
For the cameraman. No, well, why would there not be a Guys Gone Wild? You're missing a giant market there.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true. I just can't imagine.
What? Women and gay men.
The problem. Yeah. You probably got so many guys signing up to do that, though.
Hey, why don't you two guys wrestle in bed and start making out?
Well, Kimmy, that's what it was. I mean,
yeah, those girls were like
doing. No, I'm saying, but in terms of guys, like it probably
wasn't.
They
were doing like girl on girl action, so
it probably wasn't.
That's what you would be looking at.
Maybe I never watched it.
If you're gonna go with the Gone Wild theme,
you're right.
You'd have to jump in bed with your buddy.
You're right.
And start, you know, rubbing butts.
Rubbing that butt.
I was thinking more. It probably didn't take much to get a guy to flash a camera.
Taking your dong out is one thing, but like making out with your buddy Carl.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, there's
like
dancing
together.
Yeah. 252-WCMF 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this new docu series. It's on Peacock. It's Girls Gone Wild: The Untold Story. They sit down and talk to the man who did all of this, Joe Francis. And again, like we said, he was charged in 2003 with prostitution and misdemeanor child abuse after four women he filmed while drunk in sexual situations and naked turned out to be underage.
Yeah.
The guy who ran this in this docuseries
says,
but he says he was set up. It wasn't our fault. The cops recruited underage girls while drunk to get into sexual situations. He also claims that Girls Gone Wild changed the way society was for the better.
All right.
So here's what I'm trying to figure out.
What's up?
Because I can't sit here, as you can't sit here, and none of us could sit here and go like, well, at the time we knew it was bad because it was like we said, it was just a part of society that had overtaken things. I'm like, wow, what are we doing now?
Mm.
That seems completely like, well, this is how it is 20 years from now that we'll look back and go, oh my God, how did nobody say,
you know,
what are we doing?
Well, you
it
know what's starting?
Well, I think
maybe.
Something's going to come out on that.
Okay, hold on one second. Well,
you can't just say no because you don't know who runs it and what else they're doing.
I guess the difference would be the control.
Yeah.
Because in this situation, whether or not the girls are underage, you are taking advantage of people in an altered state, filming them, getting them to sign their rights away, and then selling them, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with OnlyFans, if I want to be an OnlyFans model, I have the ability to make that choice myself.
Yeah, but I don't know who runs it.
Okay.
You know, you can't sit there and say
no,
that.
No, you're right. You're right.
Here's a tell, though. If you live in Florida, and if you have a unique idea, you will eventually go to prison.
That's a good, yeah.
That's just how it's going to work.
No, that's a fair statement.
I got this thing called a pain clinic, man. We're going to give everybody meth.
I'll tell you exactly what it's going to be, because it's already starting to happen a little bit. Moms who are making money off their kids on their social media pages.
That's a really good one.
Because these kids are now growing up, becoming adults, and being like, that wasn't okay. I didn't sign off on that.
Oh.
My face is everywhere, and you made money off of it. There's going to be financial disputes over it.
Yep.
We're going to be like, wow, you know what? That probably wasn't a smart idea.
That's a really good
one. Use your kids.
Which is funny, because we kind of already went through that with like Hollywood in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, right? There's a law, the Coogan Law, which they set aside child actors' earnings so parents can't blow through them.
Yeah.
So many guys ended up broke and destitute. Men and women died in terrible ways. How did we not see that coming a second time?
Yeah. True.
So to Kimmy's point, there is this child streaming person who's been famous for like 10 years. Her name, Little Tay, is that the one? The Asian girl from Vancouver?
I haven't even seen that one.
Kid,
I've seen a bunch of these types of stories, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long story short, now, I don't know if she's come out and said anything, but they had to keep the, like, the hook was she was, like, super rich as a kid, so she would, like, buy all this crazy stuff and destroy it.
All right.
Like, luxury vehicles at, like, 10 years old. Of course, it's all BS, right?
Yeah.
But they had to keep upping the ante to get people to pay attention. They faked her death twice.
Wow.
A child.
Jesus.
A child.
How creepy is that?
Yeah.
So, like, to your point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the time, it's the parents are behind it. So it's like, were they forcing the kid to do this? Was the kid doing it on their own? Do they have the ability to say, like, give consent for those types of things?
Because there's a kid right now who, man, maybe I'm even a little past it. When my kids were younger, his whole hook, again, a little Asian kid. I'm sorry. I don't know why that keeps coming up. he would open up toys and play with them on YouTube. And it led to a whole product line that they sold exclusively at Target. So, like, the 7-8-year-old kid's face would be all
in the boxes.
Yeah, all over these toys, right? And, like, my kids, I mean, it made sense because my kids instantly recognized who that kid was. They didn't even really watch the video.
Yeah.
But, like, this kid
was
making millions and millions and millions of dollars at 7-8, and it wasn't his idea. Yeah. He didn't want to pop the camera up and play with the toys. Like, he was obviously being told what to do.
And that's not even one of the bad stories.
You're right.
But even like, well, there was that whole thing on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And all that got exposed, and that guy said it was a lie. Like, apparently, if you ask any man, none of this ever happened.
So maybe, I guess, the moral of the story is, don't use anyone under 17 for anything.
There you go.
In popular culture.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not that hard to avoid.
Right.
You don't need child actors and actresses. There are small people, because, like, you could make a living. I heard from a distance you kind of look like an eighth grader.
Ma, amazing how that joke keeps steaming along.
Ma. No, but I mean, in all seriousness, like, you don't need to have a kid on set. You don't need to put a camera
in. Well, you do need child actors for certain shows, I guess.
For the sake of entertainment, let's ruin their lives.
But they keep lining up.
Yeah, no, their parents keep lining them up. I mean, bro, you remember, as you talk about things that even the shows were connected to back in the day that now you look back and go, ooh.
Yeah.
They used to have those model searches at the mall.
Oh, yeah.
And for those who don't remember, they would run advertisements on TV and radio, and they would say, is your kid the next star of blah, 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 blah? We found actors and actresses that were on Nickelodeon and MTV, and they'd name certain people.
Yeah.
Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and blah, 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 blah. And they would get you to come down, and they would look at your kid, and they go, that kid's going to be a star.
Yep.
That kid's going to be a star. So here.
What do you do next?
Here's what happens.
Yep.
We're going to need $5,000 from you.
Yep.
And we're going to take headshots and give them acting lessons and singing lessons. Whole thing was a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Whole thing was a massive scam. But for years and years and years, these parents line their kids up.
My kid's a model.
Exactly. And they promise their kids, you're going to be famous and rich and da-da-da-da. Yeah.
But you run these camps for, like, music and acting and, you know, there was a private company that had was, like, drama kids or something. They taught you how to act around here. And it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you will get skill, but
I look at, but again, I think there's a very fine line between my kid enjoys acting and singing, so let them explore it, and I'm going to exploit the desperation of these parents.
Yeah.
And then the kid, if they have anything in them.
Because they do that Rockstar Academy here where you learn how to be, you know.
Yeah but the kid's
learning to play an instrument.
But it's not like you're in school. Like, you're trying to teach them how to perform on stage. Like, you're doing a concert.
Okay. I mean, look, I guess.
You know what I mean? You're kind of selling them on, this is going to be something you could do as an adult and make money. And that's, every kid's going to think that.
Well, yeah.
Because they
think, you want your kid to have dreams, right?
Right.
But I don't know.
It's not a realistic one.
Okay, I think there's a difference between a kid dreaming of something that's improbable and taking a parent for $10,000 with a kid that has no ability to do anything.
All right.
Well, look.
If you're going to rip people up, just keep the cost down.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At minimum, it's an opportunity for folks in the greater Rochester area to enjoy the fastest growing sport in America.
Oh, this is great.
But this could also be an opportunity for some local athletes to hit the big time.
Oh, like cash out?
Look, we're one of just a handful of communities that are getting this next year. And, I mean, Tommy, this could be one of those things that 30, 40 years from now, we look back and go, wait a minute, Rochester was once a part of this?
Like, we kicked it off, maybe?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The inaugural season of the Pro Pickleball Association Tour Challenger Series will be in Rochester in late June.
So what does that all mean?
What do you mean? It's a pro pickleball tour having a stop in Rochester.
So these are touring professionals like the PGA and tennis
yes,
and all that stuff?
Yes.
Top players in the, I don't know if it's international or.
So these are professional. Are they professional pickleball players?
Yes,
did you not just hear what I said? They're coming to Rochester as part of the tour in June.
Have you ever caught it on TV?
Yes, I have.
I mean, they take it very seriously.
Well, I knew they had like ex like tennis guys. I thought it was a joke.
No,
like Jimmy
no.
Connors playing or
nope.
something.
No, there are straight up professional pickleball players. So it will be at Dickens Pickleball in June.
Where the hell is that?
Next to Charles Pickleball. Thank you. They will have men's and women's singles along with mixed doubles and mixed singles. The tour is a 15-city tour to, quote, promote high-level and amateur pro pickleball. And folks on this tour can earn a ticket to apparently a bigger tour, which is the Carvana PPA Tour. No, I didn't make that up. That's the name of the pro pickleballer. So this sounds like maybe the minor leagues of pro pickleball.
Okay. All right, so I'm a little confused.
Same. I am too, but we'll work this out
together.
Yeah,
I don't know like the levels you have to achieve.
Can I try out for this as an amateur here?
Yes.
To move on?
Sounds like
I get the impression that, yes,
you'll
you
have
can
the chance to compete.
You got it. So it says in the story, along with pro picklers that will be coming to town.
So it's a pro-am.
There is an amateur bracket that folks from Rochester can also participate in. So, Kimmy, tell your dad.
No, nobody tell my dad.
I'm telling
Do not let this man know this is happening.
I'm telling your dad.
Lee Trevino's still out there swinging away, man.
Kimmy has no idea who that is.
You know who Lee Trevino is?
Tennis player.
Oh, you said swinging away. It's golf. It's golf.
I thought we were going pickleball.
This will be the biggest pickleball event that the greater Rochester area has ever seen. And that's a big deal here because pickleball has become huge, not only nationally, but it seems especially in Rochester.
So I thought they tried this years ago with racquetball, where they tried to make that a pro series.
Possible. But
I'm going back like many years.
Sure. I mean, every sport becomes a pro series. Well, okay, look, but some are successful. The NFL was once a barnstorming league.
Right.
Right? Well, no, I mean, it's true. All of these leagues once started like
this. But you're never going to make any money.
I don't know.
How do you know?
You get a sponsor?
I mean, it's going to be like lacrosse players. I mean, they have day jobs.
So lacrosse players, yes, but there are, I mean, don't forget, Ultimate Fighting is only 35 years old.
Yeah.
30 years old, and those guys are millionaires.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Some sports hit, some sports don't.
Some are disabled.
Is this going to be successful? 252-WCMF, 252-9263?
It's a fad.
It could be.
It is.
It could be, but it's also a little bit arrogant to say that there's nothing here.
Yeah. Especially when professional athletes are kind of getting into it. You know what I mean? I think that's a little different than maybe some other rec sports we've seen in the past.
So the only one I know that does this is that Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, the quarterback who is hurt for the Raiders right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. He, in the offseason, he lives in Naples, Florida. He lives in a van parked out in front of the gym he works out in, and this is what he does all day.
Nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
Nothing strange that's going to come out about that guy.
It could be about Gardner Minshew playing naked.
He just bought stock in Girls Gone Wild. No, I mean, if we're going
to... This is like for dreamers.
If we're going to say odds, you're right.
Yeah.
20 years from now, we're going to laugh at the idea of a pro pickleball tour. But it's not impossible for this to become something, because let's not forget, as we talk about like the history of professional sports league.
Yeah.
The NBA Finals were played at the Rochester War Memorial in the 1950s, and they didn't sell the place out, and the Celtics were in town.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a birth of something.
The Rochester Royals could have drafted Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, nobody thought that was going to be a thing, and look where the NBA is now, right? So, yes, for every World Tennis Tour and racquetball professional and whatever other stupid sport they thought was going to take on, dodgeball, there are... NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NFL.
But this sounds, it also sounds like an old person sport. It's for old farts to do. So
you'd be surprised.
I put this in there with like shuffleboard.
No.
Like I don't see a lot of young people playing.
Oh, there's a lot of young people playing.
Yeah, big time.
Yep.
Like, I think it's young, like 15, 18 year old kids like that want to become
20s, 30s.
Yeah. I mean, look, man,
I thought it was old farts.
I think it maybe started
that way as like more of like a leisure sport. And then I think it just grew. And like the more competitive it got, the more younger people got into it. I mean, there are those leagues, just like any other rec sport, that you can, you know, pay to join. And sure, we talk about fights that happen at these things
Frisbee
all the time.
Golf.
Well, I mean, but,
that's kind of what I'm putting this in with. Because I know, like, when I watch TV and I see those pharmaceutical ads, and almost every one of them ends up with the couple playing pickleball, I'm going, it's for the silver set.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We are naive to this world, despite how popular it's gotten. None of us in this room play pickleball,
No,
right?
But we have a woman whose father is deep into it.
Because your dad tried to play in a pickleball tournament here and turned his ankle in warm-ups?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he did enter.
Yeah.
So, like, if you are of this world, is there a chance that this becomes legitimately successful? Again, we're talking about a pro pickleball tournament, the PPA Tour Challenger Series. One of 15 stops will be in Rochester in late June. Dickens Pickleball in Rochester, men's and women's singles, along with mixed doubles and mixed singles. And not only are the pro picklers coming to town, there will be an amateur bracket. So, like, when it comes to the pro pickleballers coming to town, are there people that are, like, impressed by them?
How could you?
Well, no, I'm serious.
Oh, I mean, I told you, like, there are sometimes I go to my parents' house, my dad has this on TV, so he would know, like, if he recognized somebody that he saw playing in some of these national tournaments.
Like if, somebody that's famous just from pickleball.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, like, in all seriousness, like, if I walk through the lobby of the Holiday Inn Downtown, are there going to be people that are like, oh, my God, that's Jimmy Jackson, pickleballer. Sign my paddle, Jimmy.
I hope not.
Well, no, I mean, but look,
that would be pretty sick.
Monster truck drivers get that? The guy who drives the
Yes, so they get him from 5-year-olds.
Ah, no. You dated a girl that was into regional wrestling in Florida.
Yeah, but she was a, you know, she was a sad southern girl.
Okay, maybe, but.
With a good heart.
Wrestlers,
I don't know.
That used to be the same kind of thing. By the way, Dan writes us on Twitter. He says, I think you mean Dinkers, not Dickens. I'm just going with what.
All right.
News 8 said it might be Dinker. I don't know.
Dinkers?
Who cares? Doesn't matter. I'm not going. If you want to go, you're probably going to Google it anyway. You're going to find
where
it is.
You know where to go.
But look, I get there are folks in upstate New York that will want to play in the amateur bracket.
Thinking that they could advance.
Or just for something to do. One of those two, right? But they also say in this story, they will be selling grounds passes to watch the event for $15.
Ground passes.
Like a grounds pass you would buy at like the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
So it's basically just a ticket to walk around and watch.
How many $15 grounds passes do they sell to the PPA Rochester event?
Okay, that are just going to watch. They don't have a family member doing it.
Yeah, they just want to go
watch. You're just a fan of watching pickleball.
Yeah.
If they sell 10.
No, they're selling. I was thinking like 200.
200.
Think about it. There are people that pay for pickleball lessons
and
to train as a pickleball player. Those people are going to pay $15 to go.
Just watch?
I think so.
They ain't got no family in there.
I would.
They don't play. I would walk around.
I thought 200 was a minimum. I mean, could they get 1,000 people?
I hope.
$15 a head?
That is so sad.
Well, let's talk to some people who might know. 252 WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Dan. Hey, Danny boy. How are you, buddy?
How's it going, boys?
Good, man.
Hey, one of the other things you guys forgot about league-wise is how about Frisbee Golf?
Yeah, I don't think you're making the point you think you're making there, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't there a tour with Frisbee Golf, and how popular was that? You're saying that this might not become popular. I think they should combine both leagues, pickleball and Frisbee Golf. That way Pat's mom can play the basket and then receive all the balls. Crickets?
Oh, there's some crickets.
Guys, have a good day.
No. Sorry, Dad, I stepped on your joke.
No, God forbid. He didn't get
baskets
that.
And pickles.
He didn't get that bomb off. Spitting fire this morning here into his phone.
Oh, God.
Okay, I vaguely remember now that we're talking about Frisbee Golf. Don't we have a guy here in town who's like, who won like the national Frisbee Golf championship?
For whatever reason, our community is big into Frisbee Golf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a niche thing. Niche.
Dingus. But they have courses all over the country.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, Rochester has, like, 4 or 5, like, high-level courses.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yes, Kimmy, but that's to Tommy's point. Like, you could be the best, disc golf player of the world.
Yeah, he could also be my State Farm agent.
So, fun fact, LeBron James, Tom Brady, Kevin Durant, and Michael Phelps have all invested in pickleball.
So is Drew Brees.
There's a bunch of names here.
I caught one of those pro pickleball just to put it on ESPN to see what it looked like. And Drew Brees' team was playing some other like billionaires team.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, Kimmy, this was like, what was it, pro team tennis? That was a tour in the 70s?
Yes.
So that was the same kind of
Philadelphia
thing.
Freedom was written about a team.
So yeah, that fell on its face.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I have no interest in watching it.
I don't either. I can't imagine going just to watch. I don't even know anybody.
But part of me is kind of hoping this is successful because I think I would like to see a sports league become dominant in my lifetime.
Like a new sport.
Yeah. Because, like, when I was a kid, I don't watch soccer. The MLS was supposed to be the next big thing. That didn't really do what it was supposed to do. I guess you can make an argument for UFC, but they still don't pull close to the numbers of any of the other sports leagues, right? Like, you lived in a world where the NBA went from nothing to a juggernaut.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Kimmy and I don't have that. So it would be kind of cool to see, like, hey.
Growth.
We were around. Like, you know, there were.
But you think, like, one of those European sports would catch on first, like rugby or cricket or something like that that's already established, has stars, and has, like, a mechanism to sell it.
No, but if soccer didn't do it, why would cricket? Why would rugby?
Rugby might, because it's violent.
No, I mean, bro, rugby has been.
It's
but
rough.
We already have something so similar that maybe that's why.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I do want. Are you somebody who, and I kind of feel this way to some extent, I'm almost afraid to try it because I don't want to like doing it. Because I know a lot of people, they just were like, yeah, we just tried, we figured we'd give it a try. And then they ended up being like, you know, regular pickleball.
Pickle pricks.
Yeah.
Prickleball.
I'm kind of afraid, because everybody I know that's tried it ends up loving it. And I just, I don't even want to start.
No, look, I know I don't have the patience for
Because you can just
it.
Go play tennis.
Well, but I don't have the patience for tennis either.
But I'm saying, if you were going to do it.
I know.
Well, it's more accessible.
Well, no, well.
Is it?
Pickleball seems like an easier thing to pick up.
It seems like it's almost the same.
I got to invest in like a racket and stuff.
My brother is that guy you're describing. My brother Ryan is now like a straight up.
Like you don't just like casually do it. You're all of a sudden sucked into this world where you're a hardcore pickleballer.
Ryan plays?
Yeah, he's in a league with his buddy.
He's a little portly.
Well, he didn't understand what it was. He thought he was going for something else at first.
Oh, he thought it was a side.
Burgers and pickles. Oh, all right, fine. I'll stay. No, he's got like a racket and he plays in a league with his buddy. Okay. I don't know how like serious.
I guess you could get into shape running around. Do you run around a lot?
I've never played. I don't know.
I've never watched it. I just see it in ads.
Well, here, good news. $15. You and I could go.
Damn.
Me, you, and Kimmy. Watch
and
Kimmy's
cheer
dad.
Cheer him on.
If Kimmy's dad does this, I'm going.
Oh, if your old man was playing.
Oh, I feel like we'd all have to go.
No,
I'd
would definitely go watch your old man play.
We should all grow mustaches in support of
him. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Right. It's a crime we're very familiar with in Rochester.
What's that, buddy?
It's also one that's bound to increase as we get closer to the holidays. Bottom line.
Yeah.
If you order a package, you'd like it to be on your step when you get home.
Right.
With these damn porch pirates.
Yeah.
Lucky for us. Some local law enforcement folks here to help keep your packages safe. And all you need to do...
What do I do?
...to keep your packages safe is completely eliminate the convenience of at-home delivery.
Oh, okay.
You hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Story from News 8 last night. Rochester Police Department offers tips on avoiding porch pirates.
Okay.
And the pain in the ass that is coming home to find the package you ordered has been swiped. Now you got to deal with the headache of getting it replaced. You got to call 311 and let them know so they're aware of where these packages are being taken. Tommy, before we get into what tips are recommended by the police department, if there was one move you could make that you believed would thwart these porch pirates, what would you do to guarantee your package doesn't get stolen?
Because I'm not home all day. Right?
No, I mean, there's a good 4 hours where you're out.
So let's say I work an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
And that thing's going to sit there for, let's say, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Sure.
What can I do to keep safe that thing sitting on my porch?
What are you doing?
Nothing. There's nothing you can do.
So you've already quit?
Unless you could tell them to, like, put it in the back of your house.
The side of your house.
Because sometimes they give you that option where you want it left.
Do you like in the back?
Well, who doesn't want it in the back?
Okay.
It's safer back there.
So that is one of the... That is one of the tips that the RPD gives in this story last night.
Or the fence.
Is to give instructions to the person where to put it. They suggest either getting like a box next to your front door for them to just simply open it up and put it in.
Yeah, then they'll steal the box.
Well, they say that most of these porch pirate crimes are crime of opportunity. So if they see the package on your front step, these porch pirates will run up and grab it. Something as simple as having something to cover the package may keep them from taking it. They also suggest requiring a signature for pickup, and that's where this starts to become
a
problem.
You'll never get your stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because the great part of home delivery is I don't have to worry about my schedule.
Right.
Standing in line
to
figure this stuff out this time of year.
Mm-hmm. And we just take a slow descent into this becoming so much more harder because the final tip they offer last night on News 8 is to use what's called an Amazon delivery location. Are you aware of this?
So I go to a off-site area where they have the stuff?
It's a secure box at an off-site spot. They're all together.
But that kind of, now I got to get out of my house.
Bingo.
I don't want to do that either.
So if you use these, and 252 WCMF, if anyone's used them, because these sound interesting, they give you a code, and your package is locked in like a locker.
Okay, you go down here and pop it
up. Boop, 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 and it's there, and you take it home and go home. But you're right, now I'm making.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, man. I might as well just go to the store and buy it.
Well, I guess the idea is you already have the package. You don't have to wait in line or actually shop, right?
But it kind of adds a step that I don't want.
Oh, it definitely adds a step.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't it.
And to your point, like with the whole signature, with the offsite box, as you go down these list of tips, one thing becomes very apparent.
What's that?
There is nothing you can do to get the packages the way we've always gotten them and guarantee they'll stay safe.
So is it just say no?
Yes. It's almost like they're telling you you're taking a risk by letting delivery drivers leave something on your front step.
And I guess that's what you pay for the convenience, right? There's a risk. I'm fine with it. I think most people are. I don't see many people avoiding it. I mean, we got people in our neighborhood that have like stacks of the stuff right down in front of their house.
I also think most people believe it'll never happen in their neighborhood.
Yeah, I think so too.
Right? Until all of a sudden it happens and you're
But I'm saying, like, you could go around my neighborhood and see like a bunch of it. And I pick the stuff up, I rattle it. It sounds like good stuff in there.
No, but I mean that's Pittsford arrogance.
Yeah.
That is Pittsford arrogance, which is funny because like if I'm a criminal, I want to go to the place that has the nicest stuff.
True.
Which you're not worried about getting stolen. That's why every once in a while, every couple weeks, we see, you know, five Mercedes stolen out of a neighborhood because they left their keys unlocked and parked it out in the street. You know what I mean?
I know.
I guess the other thing you could do is, especially in your neighborhood, because you got a lot of older people that are home all day.
Oh yeah.
is ask a neighbor to, you know, keep an eye on it for you or grab the package when it comes, because I do know people who ask that of their neighbors.
That sucks. Now I got to get my ass up.
Well, it's kind of like, hey, I'll do this for you if you do this for me when I need it.
But then I
got
to hold on to it, wait for you to come home.
Yep.
Then you're going to be banging on my door. I'm trying to watch Jeopardy.
You've entered a sacred covenant
when
you ask that, because you have to do it for them.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not popping that one.
And like, here's the other thing, too. Right? 252-WCMF, 252-9263, talking about these tips that the RPD is giving to make sure you're not a victim of a porch pirate. By the way, if we're missing something, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, what are people doing to ensure that nothing gets taken off their front step? If you enter into that whole deal with a neighbor, not only do I have to go over and grab it from you, I have to read all that stuff. When they come over to drop it off, you are obligated to have a minimum 3-minute conversation.
And you got to thank them.
Yeah.
And you might have to tighten them up with something.
Well, if you're doing it for them, it's even.
Yeah.
All right. But let's say you don't get that much and they get a ton. You're going to have to like...
Hey, you should have thought about that before you agreed, buddy.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have a 3-minute conversation.
No.
Hey, Al. Yeah, no. Wife's doing good. Yeah, works fine. Oh, wow. Gophers.
I would say this. If let's say 10% of all your packages that get delivered get stolen.
10%?
10%. Hold on. Is that an acceptable loss
ratio
to not involve anything but just keep the status quo?
No, I think 10% is way higher than you think.
I think it only has to happen
10%.
To you once.
I know how high it is. It's 10% of 100.
You absolutely get...
I get 90% of my stuff.
I understand what a percentage is. What I'm explaining
you
to you
is... You asked me. I already said it.
Here's what I'm explaining.
What?
You are not fully wrapping your head around how many packages you get, because you absolutely get over 100 packages a year.
All right. I understand that.
Without question. So that would mean 10 times you ordered something, you didn't get it.
But I would be pissed, but that's enough for me not to switch out.
I don't think if you had 10 things a year taken off your porch, you would
feel the same. I'd probably get ripped off every day when I'm buying crap.
Mad.
Don't stop me.
Dude, the billionaire's coming after you. Mad. Why not order from Jeff Bezos? You know, make it right. No. Like,
I'm taking the 10%.
10% is way too high.
And I guarantee you, most people would not switch if they got ripped off 10%, because it's so easy to do now.
I think it's less about losing the item. Losing the item sucks, because then you have to reach out to Amazon or whatever place, get it replaced, figure it out, refund.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the feeling of being violated, that this crime happened literally on your front step.
But I don't mind being violated 10%.
No, I think it would, let's say it happened to you twice. You think you're still going to like roll the dice every time after that?
Because it's too damn easy.
Yeah, it's so funny how he sits here in his leather chair.
You all act like you're not going to
get
it.
I think I would switch it up if I was worried every time a package showed up at my door.
Think about the anxiety if you ordered something you really wanted that it would show up. Because you order weird ass stuff that can't be replaced. Italian socks.
Like you
think Giuseppe's going to be like, oh yeah, I sent him new socks. No, he's not going to do that.
And you waited like a month to get them on top of that.
Did you get your socks yet?
I did. I haven't gotten my Italian driving gloves yet.
You're kidding me.
Don't you already have driving gloves?
No.
No. Then what do you call the gloves you have?
They're just regular dress gloves.
You drive a sedan. What do you need driving gloves for?
Because like you could navigate the things on your dashboard with because they're thin. You know what I mean? Like with gloves, you got to take them off to do stuff. These you could do things without, like you could touch your phone and everything.
You drive a Nissan. What are you doing?
Like this. Mm-hmm. Basically, I got him to piss you off.
252-WCM, it's working. 252-9263.
Did you see him?
You know, the one tip that didn't show up from this list from RPD to protect your packages from porch pirates? Security cameras.
But that doesn't stop anymore.
Yeah. No, but it did not. That's what I'm saying. It did not show up on the list. Like even the cops now aren't even pretending like the security cameras do anything. Although it is funny, on the story last night on News 8, there is a montage of local people's Ring cameras, people stealing
just
stuff.
Ripping them off.
So you get a great shot for the news for when they need to illustrate what's happening. Right. But I mean, even the cops aren't pretending like the cameras do anything anymore. Yeah. You just get footage of
and
someone.
And they don't deter anything.
No. I mean, sometimes you see that people taking packages look right into the camera and walk away.
I just use my camera now to see if the thing showed up. Oh, it's here. Great. Yeah. I'll get it when I get home.
One of the funniest stories we've had of the last year, remember there was a, I believe it was a woman who was missing a hand.
Yes.
Who was
caught. Wait, they stole her hand?
She
didn't even feel it?
She was missing a hand and porch pirated her. They had her on video. And like that stands out. You're missing a hand.
Yeah.
That woman is yet to be arrested for that crime.
As far as we know.
Who's the one-handed woman. And she's still on the run. So like, if someone misses
worst Eagles tune of all time.
How's that go?
Ooh, one-handed woman.
So I just find it funny.
Yeah.
When it's your wife's money, you're fine.
I know.
You're
10%,
fine with it.
Man.
Because if this was Webster back when you were living by yourself with empty rooms in your house, if one of your packages got stolen, you'd be flipping the
F because
out.
It would have been one of my creepy ass neighbors.
What are you talking about?
What?
I had some creepy neighbors, bro.
Bro, you were the creepy neighbor.
What are you talking about?
You had buddies running over mailboxes and doing burnouts after parties. You were cursing while drunk at the Christian neighbors that
they
you
were
had.
So sweet.
You just had.
No, I wasn't cursing at them.
You just had a cavalcade of skanks, both that you were with, I was with, other friends were with, just running through that house. The stains on that driveway and those sheets. Yeah, those creepy neighbors you had.